Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 288 of the Rated NA podcast. I'm your host, Ash.
And I'm Scott.
And we are here with a very special episode. How you doing, Scott?
I'm pretty darn good, and I'm excited for this interview. Who do we have on the show this week?
So a couple months back, we had Stevie and Tanika on from High Five, which is an Australian kids show that my kid has been watching, that I have secretly been watching and falling in love with as an adult, which I don't know if I should admit, but I ended up really enjoying the show. And after we ended up wrapping that episode, I got to talking to Tanika Anderson a little bit more about what she was up to and what's going on. And it turns out she was doing something that is really admirable and something that I think it's just absolutely fantastic. So this is a different sort of episode for our listeners. It's not necessarily about video games. It's a little bit about pop culture because she does some really cool pop culture-y stuff, but it's about helping people. So one of the things that Tanika did is she started an ethical clothing label out of Myanmar. And the whole point of this clothing label is to help young girls in need. So rather than how clothes are made today, basically you don't know who's making your clothes, and a lot of times the working conditions are terrible, and she went the opposite route. And so the girls that make these clothes are actually benefit from the creation of the clothes directly.
The story she tells is really incredible, and I think it's just like it kind of like lifts you up while you listen to her talk about the things that she observed and how to try to bring some positivity to the world, which I think is really awesome. And probably, for me, the highlight of the interview, I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah, man. It's one of those things where, when I had Tanika and Stevie on, we were talking about, how they toured with the band and pop culture and having fun. But, when I started hearing more and more about what she was doing, it made me want to do more, because, she created something that's directly, impacting the lives of a number of young people, which I just think is great. And a lot of our listeners know that I used to be an educator, and part of me misses, impacting young people. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard her story, I was just like, this is awesome and other people need to hear it. So why don't we just go ahead and play the interview? And at the end, we will go ahead and give a bunch of links so people can help out and check out the clothes because they're awesome.
Excellent. Enjoy the interview.
Okay, so we are here with Tanika Anderson back on the show for round two. Welcome, Tanika.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me back.
I know. It's so exciting to have you back. It's only been a couple of months before I bugged you again, and now here you are. So it didn't take me long to email you again and be like, I want to know more.
1 hour is not enough.
Yeah, no, honestly. No, it was so much fun. You guys were absolutely fantastic to have on the show, and it's good to have you back. We're going to be talking about something a little bit different this time. We're going to be talking about you and May. But before we get into you and May, I kind of wanted to just ask you where you are right now in the world, like time zone wise. And this is always the most challenging thing logistically is figuring out where the heck we are in relation to each other. So where are you and what time is it?
I'm in Sydney right now, and I think it's about 11 a.m. Yep.
It is.
It's 11 a.m. and I'm in Sydney.
We're so punctual this time. We started like right exactly when we were supposed to.
Crazy. What time is it over there right now?
It's 9 p.m. Yeah.
That's so weird.
And my kid just went to sleep, so it's the absolute perfect time.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, really exciting because, after we had you on last time, we had a lot of parents actually hit us up and they were very excited to start watching High Five. We had literally like dozens of people that were saying, oh my gosh, thank you for introducing us to the show. So,
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, when we were talking last time, I was telling you that, there's not a whole, there's first of all, a ton of children's television out there. A lot of it isn't all that great. And that's something we talked about last time. And I really do think, High Five is something pretty special, just because of the level of talent of everyone involved. And, the stuff that you guys go through as entertainers, traveling all over the place. I don't even know how many countries. Do you remember even how many? A lot?
No, I think it was like we hopped on like 250 flights last year. It's just, you don't even know where you are anymore.
Right. Yeah. So
yeah, crazy.
How did you guys stay healthy? I mean, I'm like battling a cold. So if our listeners are like, oh, Ash sounds weird. Like, we just got back from San Diego, on the other coast of the United States. And I got a little sick cause my kid got sick. But how did you guys, how did you guys survive that?
You know what? Not getting sick is actually one of my strengths, touch wood. But on tour, like we would, because I grew up in Thailand, so a lot of the time, you know, the cast would go down from stomach bugs and stuff. And if someone had a stomach bug, everyone would get a stomach bug. But because I grew up in Thailand, I think my immunity is pretty strong, and I'd never really get sick. But it was like almost, you know, gym every single day, just eat as healthy as you can. We didn't eat fresh salads when we were traveling because you'd pick up bugs and stuff, especially in a lot of the Asian countries. Yeah. So, I mean, we did a lot to keep ourselves healthy, but I think also from my upbringing, I was very fortunate to not, you know, pick up any of those bugs.
You also dealt with, I'm not even kidding, thousands upon thousands of snotty children.
So many.
I actually need your professional advice on how to dodge my child's snotty nose. So what did you do when you
had snotty
kids coming up to you?
Well, I mean, I guess it's different when it's your own child, but like, I just wouldn't touch their hands and stuff. Like, more be like, let's dance together rather than like, give me a hug, you know? Right. But there were times where I remember there was one time in the Philippines and we were doing a meet and greet and someone brought their child up on stage and was like, hold my baby. And I was like, whoa, okay. Held the baby. And then the baby did a massive poo all over me, like, and it went through the nappy onto my costume, and there was just like, it was just on me, and I didn't even know what to do. I just remember it smelling so bad, and I just had to run off stage.
This is perhaps this is one of the most amazing stories anyone has ever told on this show. So thank you for telling that. That you're a trooper.
And
you
know what?
It's funny. At this point, like, my wife, my kid, and I have probably, like, we're probably like your biggest fans in the United States. I'm not even kidding. Like, we've watched everything that's on Netflix, and then we like ran out of Netflix stuff, so we started going through YouTube videos and watching like live crap that people posted like on their phones. There's a lot of it. So we watched all of that. But something tells me you probably held your composure through getting crapped on by a kid.
Always hold the composure. It's just like, you know, there would be so many times when we were touring where you just want to cry, but like, you just have to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you will cry. And it's just like, this is hilarious. And we'd all just crack up laughing. Yeah. But the best part was just like, we were a really easy group of people to be traveling together. You know, we didn't, it's hard to describe, but like, you know, I didn't mind getting a little bit dirty. I didn't mind, you know, hanging out with the kids and having fun. Very different to a lot of other jobs in the entertainment industry.
Yeah. I mean, from the outside, it seemed like you guys were, you know, really having a good time, and it definitely, you know, it you could see it in your performance. Like, you guys were just killing it. And I didn't even realize, like, when you guys were, when you were on the show last, you had honestly just stopped right around that time. Like, you were like, I saw videos of you touring in like December of last year.
Yeah. I think our last show was on Christmas Day.
Okay. Okay.
On Christmas Day. Yeah.
Fantastic. So you were just kind of like fresh off, like being like a free, like not touring all the time and having a little bit of free time. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. I finally unpacked my suitcase after 4 years of just living out of the same suitcase, same clothes.
Weird to like not be going? I mean, you're still traveling quite a bit, but is it feel weird to not be traveling constantly?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I get itchy feet. I feel like every 3 weeks I should be going somewhere. Yeah. But I mean, I feel like life was almost more simple when I just had my one suitcase and nothing else.
Right.
Whereas now I'm like, oh, I have a whole wardrobe and like I have things and I have a house to clean and like this kind of weird things that you just, you forget about when you're touring all the time. You know, you're just in hotel rooms and two t-shirts, a pair of jeans.
No, I totally get it. We were, I told you kind of before we started that I was out in San Diego with my wife and kid, and we lived out of a hotel room for about 11 days out there, covering an event out there. And,
it was so fun and easy just to have like this one room, and like all of us had one suitcase, and like my 1 year old was like totally used to the hotel. He kept trying to use the key card to like get into different doors, and
it was he would have like, loved it.
Oh yeah, it was super super simple and fantastic. So there is something to be said about simplicity. But I want to segue into you and May, because I don't want to keep you here for like 4 hours on your what is your Saturday?
Okay, I like being here.
Okay, well thanks.
Yay!
So last time you were on, I was a bad host, and I actually didn't realize that you and May was about to launch. I think, maybe a week or two after you were on last time. So for our listeners that don't know what you and May is, can you tell us just the general idea of what you and May is all about?
Okay, so basically You and May is an ethical clothing label where we're working to alleviate young girls from poverty in Myanmar, otherwise known as Burma, by providing them with an income, education, and healthcare. Wow. To sum it up in like one sentence.
I feel like you perhaps have said that before.
I have had to say that before and type it before, and I guess it's the best way to summarize everything that we do. Obviously, it's so much bigger than that, and it's so much, you know, there are so many challenges, and the aspects of it. It's like we're not only teaching these girls a skill and providing them with an income and basic knowledge of, you know, like their social skills and life skills and nutritional support and guidance, but like trying to train them up to be leaders within their own community so that eventually they can make their own mark one day.
Wow. I mean, that's really admirable. And honestly, like when I saw you were doing that, I was fans of you prior to you and May. And then when I saw you were doing that, I was like, oh, you're like legitimately like a good human being, which is like, which is just really, really super cool. But I read somewhere, maybe in another interview you did or somewhere online, the story of how you and May came to be. And it really is a fantastic story. If you wouldn't mind telling sort of, you know, how you were on tour and ended up discovering, you know, having this inspiration, so to speak.
Yeah, sure. So in 2000, I think it was the very beginning of 2015, we traveled to Myanmar with a charity organization. And this was kind of my first overseas trip with a charity organization since joining High Five. And I'd been to most Southeast Asian countries, but I'd never visited Myanmar before or even heard of it, really. I didn't know much about it. But we went to this gorgeous little village, province in the middle of Mandalay. And we met a group of young girls who were living in extreme poverty, and this one young girl, her name was Nanda, she was living underneath someone else's thatched house in the dirt, and she had nothing, like legitimately in the dirt. Wow. Yes, like under someone else's house, and she had it was like a ratty blanket, and that was just laying on top of the dirt. And then I remember there was like a bag of boiled rice hanging also in the dirt, and she didn't have anything. But she was so proud to show me what she did have. She was like, come visit my home, like blah, blah, blah. And then in the back corner of this dirt space was this old school rickety foot pedal sewing machine. And she was learning to sew garments so that she could sell them at the markets on the weekend to provide for her and her family. And I bought a top off this young girl and wore it back home in Australia, and people would ask me, hey, where'd you get your top from? And I'd tell the story, and then people would say, well, I want one, you know. And it wasn't long after that I watched the documentary The True Cost, which is on Netflix, and it's about the factory collapse, the Rana Plaza factory collapse in Bangladesh, where like 1,500 garment workers died.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, due to the fast fashion industry and the environmental and cultural destruction that's caused by it. And I thought, what if I could? I was having coffee with Stevie at Bronte Beach, and I was like, what if I could slow down the fashion industry and put a face to fashion? And so for every garment that's made, you'll know exactly which girl made that garment and how you're helping them in the process. And I was like, and I could provide these young girls with an income. And that's where it started, and then along the way realized, oh, you know, they need education, they need healthcare, they need all this stuff just kind of built up, which is why it took 2 whole years to set up before we could actually launch.
I mean, just the concept alone seems so grand. Like, I'm just genuinely I'm amazed that you were able to pull it off. I'm amazed anyone was able to pull it off, because conceptually it seems nearly impossible to have this, you know, slow down the fashion industry. That's like, how do you slow down like a steam engine? You know, it's just that's just the way something is. So you're basically recreating the wheel, which is absolutely fantastic. So how did you go from concept to execution? And I mean, it would probably take you 4 hours to explain like the real process. But like, what were some of the trials and tribulations and some of the difficult things about going through the process of creating this?
I remember when I first started like working on the concept, and I thought to myself, why doesn't everyone run a business that does good for the world, like that helps people? Like, why doesn't everyone do it? It's so easy. Like, we should all integrate that into our businesses somehow. And now, 2 years later, I realize why people don't do it. It is honestly one of the most challenging things you could ever do. It's the most challenging thing I've ever done. And there are days where I just wake up being like, I can't do it. Like, it is impossible. This is impossible. You know, I'm dealing with, it turns out, you know, starting a business on the other side of the world with employees who don't speak English isn't as easy as you would have thought.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing we'll get to that later. I need to ask you about just that barrier, because that, you know, I couldn't even fathom trying to do that. So continue. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. And honestly, like, trying to get the girls to visualize their futures was incredibly hard, you know, because they're just trying to survive. They're trying to get through that day and the next day, and they're not thinking about their futures. Where's their life going to be in a year's time? And, you know, the average age in this community in Myanmar is like 40 years old. So a lot of these girls don't have parents. They don't have family. So just to try and get them, when we were setting up the business, we couldn't pay them. We could provide the education program, but I just had to say, like, just hold in there. Like, once it's up and running, you'll be looked after, and I want to train you up to be able to achieve your dreams. And we lost a couple of girls in the beginning, the early stages, because they just couldn't hold out, you know, and which I understand. Obviously, they have to survive. But when I first met these girls, and I would ask each of them individually, what are your dreams and aspirations? Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And when I first met them, they couldn't give me an answer. They were like, who's ever asked them that question before? You know, how are they supposed to answer that question? And now when I ask, you know, one of the girls, Shui, what do you want to be when you grow up? She would say, she said, I want to be a lawyer so I can help families like my own fight for their rights. And with her first payment from you and May, she enrolled at university to study law, and she's going to become a lawyer one day. She's extremely intelligent.
This is like it is honestly just the coolest thing. Like, you should feel like, you should wake up feeling really, really good about yourself on a daily basis.
I mean, oh my God.
The fact that, you know, that you, first of all, impacted so many people as an entertainer, and now you're going and like genuinely impacting people that were, didn't necessarily have the best future ahead of them, is just really, like, honestly admirable and just super cool. And I think, you know, hopefully it inspires other people to do similar things that, you know, as difficult as you say it is, hopefully other people end up trying to do, you know, to recreate the
world. Even in a small way.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it is, even with the girls, I'm like, I want, you know, one of our girls, Weiwei, she's starting up. Was Weiwei the girl who made Lincoln's overalls?
Yes.
Yes.
We made the overalls.
So, yeah. So she's used her payments to start up her own sewing business on the side, where she's teaching another couple of girls to sew. And that's what I want for the girls. They're not bound to me, that I want them to go out and achieve their dreams. And when you're ready to move forward in that direction, and we've provided you with the opportunities, like, then go do that. Yeah. And so, like, they really are amazing girls. And it was, when I first met them, you kind of, you do feel a little bit sorry for them. They don't have families. They're just fighting to survive every day. So
pardon my ignorance, but when you say they don't have families, is it because their families have moved on and left them, or is it, have they passed away? Like, what's
passed? A lot of them have passed away. Yeah. So
health reasons, because of the quality of life is so bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's funny. Exactly.
And like, I was looking at some of the statistics at Myanmar, and it's, you know, I didn't realize so many people live there. It's got a population like double of Australia. It's like 50 million people.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge population.
And then like the average income is like in US dollars is like only like $60 a year or $60 a month, yeah, rather, which is just, yeah, like holy
nothing.
God. Yeah. That's, yeah, like nothing. And it's
the average wage for a female garment worker is $2.50 per day to sew on average 100 garments per day, which is nothing considering we sometimes pay, you know, $200 for an item.
Right.
And the person that actually made it is receiving next to nothing. Right. Like, what? How does that? Where does all that money go? You know?
You're right. And it goes to the big corporations and to, you know,
exactly,
fat cat CEOs, so and yeah, people that aren't doing the work, which is really, exactly, again, something that's really admirable about what you're doing. From a design aspect, how did you go about creating some of the designs for you and May? So what actually goes into creating the clothes? And you're talking to a guy, by the way, who has like worn the same Daddy t-shirts for 20 years of his life.
You know, oh, wow.
Me asking questions about fashion is like the most ironic thing ever, but I am truly interested. Like, I really,
yeah, yeah. Really, well, we'll be introducing a men's range soon. So,
oh, wow,
you'll be able to switch out that ruddy t-shirt.
Oh my gosh.
It's I'm a so cool ready. T-shirt that you're wearing, though.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Black flag. Yeah. I like that. When I started the business, I realized we had 8 girls.
Okay.
And I realized that only 2 of them could actually sew. Okay. Sew properly. So I needed to fly in a seamstress trainer from one of the main cities to teach them properly how to cut and sew the garments. And so some of the collection are very basic. So we'd start with like a t-shirt dress, which is just 2 pieces of fabric basically sewn together, okay, to make it really simple for them. And then as time went on, the designs got a little bit more complicated. But I would provide them with a pattern, and then I give them the freedom to choose kind of what materials they use and what patterns they want to put where. And so it's a very collaborative process.
That's really fantastic. So did you have a background in designing clothes yourself, or was it something you were kind of learning along the way too?
I love fashion,
okay,
but I have absolutely no experience in the fashion industry, and I had no experience in starting a business or, you know, the online world or, you know, e-commerce world. Didn't know anything. So I've really just had to learn along the way.
Whoever is doing your social media is really good, first of all. Who is doing it? Is it just you, or do you have like...
It's me. I do everything. Really? I don't have a business partner.
You don't have a business partner?
No. No, I can tell you, like, so it's like...
I was going to say, I do social media like professionally. Like, that's, yeah, my day job. And like, you're knocking it out of the park. Like, your posts are very powerful and meaningful, and like, yeah, the way that you have everything rolling out is really, really good. But I think one of the things that you do that's really admirable is you focus on the people, mm, as opposed to just focusing on the clothes. So can you tell me a little bit about some of the people that are working down in Myanmar for you and May? Because I know you said there's a woman there sort of acting like a mentor and a tutor, and I thought that was just really fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, let's be honest, you can buy a dress from any shop, really. You can go to H&M and get a dress for $5. But the difference is the story behind the piece of clothing that you're wearing. So for me, with the social media, talking about the people is a very important aspect of that, and educating people about Myanmar and why it's such a beautiful country and how I was drawn to it. And so, yeah, I guess for the social media, the reason I do it, I mean, I guess I could hand that off to someone else, but I know these girls and I know the project inside out better than anyone, obviously. So I want to be writing those posts, and I want it to come from a true place rather than someone just writing. I don't post to sell garments, you know what I mean? I don't post a picture on Instagram because I want to sell a dress. I post a picture on Instagram because I want to tell people the story behind you and me, and the amazing people over there that are actually helping keep it running. So what we have, a team of about 4 mentors over there. We have our seamstress trainer, who is an incredible woman, and she basically volunteers her time to teach the girls these skills. So whenever a new order comes in, she'll spend time with them and make sure that they they understand the process and they love her. It's all about finding people that these girls can connect with on a whole nother level, so they feel safe around them and they feel protected and comfortable. And I want those girls, even if they weren't getting paid, and even if you and May didn't exist, I'd want them to, they'd still be there because they just love it. They love each other. It's like they have a family now, you know. And then we have a lady, her name is Martor, and she works for World Vision in Myanmar, but she works for UMA part-time on the side, so a couple of days a week. And she's absolutely incredible. She lost her parents when she was quite young, and she simply is helping because she doesn't want these girls to go through what she went through when she was younger. And they trust her with every inch of themselves. And Martor really is the reason that Ewan May has been a possibility. She looks after it all basically when I'm not there, but I do have to kind of set up the education program for them and recruit everyone and check in on everything. And because Myanmar is it's a different culture over there. They're quite laid back. So to kind of educate them on the business side of everything, it's like you have to meet deadlines and you have to, you know, we have to figure out the shipping systems and et cetera. All that kind of stuff has been quite challenging on my end. And that's that point that I've realized now, because the business has officially launched, and we are making sales, and I'm trying to look after the social media and the email marketing and the program in Myanmar and people management, and I'm doing all the inventory and the shipping myself. So it's like, wow.
How are you doing all of this?
And still like acting as a job. Like,
yeah, it's just unbelievable.
That's why there are days where it's like, oh, like I could have done that better, or I should be working harder or whatever. It's like, no, I actually don't think I could physically do any more than I'm doing right now. And I just have to acknowledge that and start to hand off some of those responsibilities. Like if I had a team member here in Australia, it would help massively.
Right. Right. I mean, wow. I mean, just listening to you describe all the things that you do all the time is exhausting. No, I mean, honestly, it's like, it is a ton of stuff. And like, I was honestly curious. One of my questions I was going to ask you, like, how many people are you working with on this? And it seems like you're kind of steering the ship like nearly solo. Do you think this is something you can maintain, or do you think that you are going to have to eventually expand this out at some point because of, you know, fatigue? Like, what do you think?
Definitely. I'm going to have to bring someone on board. My ideal situation is that I can be spending more time with the girls in Myanmar and working on the creative stuff and the education program and, like the designs, like that's the stuff that I love.
Right, right.
And the business side of it has been really interesting for me. And I've learned a lot and I like knowing how it all works, but I know that there are people trained to do that, and they would probably be better at it than me. So I would like to eventually bring someone on board to kind of manage the logistical side of everything, so I can focus on the creative side. That's the ideal situation.
That would be pretty awesome. You were talking about different programs and such that the girls were working towards in terms of education. So what were some of the things that you are working on with them to sort of keep them educated and get them educated? What are some of the things going on now?
So I said to them when I first met them, if you could learn any skill other than sewing, what would it be? Any skill in the world. And they all said English, because every child in Myanmar that has received an education learns English. But because a lot of these girls haven't received an education, they don't know how to speak English. And it holds them back massively, especially when they're trying to start their own businesses or like communicate with me, for example. So they're all doing English lessons and they're doing really well. I'm also trying to learn Burmese, and I think they are doing a better job at learning English than I am learning their language, but I'm trying my best. And they're also doing business lessons, maths lessons, life skills, and they're getting nutritional support and guidance from a doctor who studied at Birmingham Hospital in the UK. So she's now living back in Myanmar and teaching the girls, which is wonderful. And all these people, except for our English and maths teacher, are volunteering their time.
That's wow.
Mm.
Super inspirational.
It's pretty cool.
Awesome. I've almost forgot to bring this up. We kind of mentioned this via email a long time ago, but your great grandfather and my grandfather both served in Burma, Myanmar.
Yeah.
World War II. I meant to ask you, what did you, do you know what your great grandfather did in the war?
He was managing a team of 40 men.
Okay.
And so I think he was reasonably high up, but amazing how life kind of moves in circles. Like, who would have thought that, you know, that's where he served and I would be running a business there one day. And it's a pretty random place as well. Not many people know much about me.
Yeah, no, I mean, that, when you mentioned that, you know, I don't know much about my grandfather's time in World War II. It's just something he like never, he passed away when I was really young and it was something he never really talked about a whole lot. Mm. But I do remember him telling stories of how, like, when I told you this too, but I'll tell the listeners, he was a professional baseball player in the 1940s and 1930s here in the United States. And for your Australian listeners, baseball is sort of like cricket, but different and sort of popular here.
We know what baseball is.
So anyway, he played professional baseball. He got drafted and had to quit his career. And he actually, he served in Myanmar/Burma and, you know, survived the war, obviously, cause I'm here, but, he always kind of said it was kind of dicey and a little bit scary, but, it is very interesting how, you know, both of our ancestors were there at the same time.
Crazy that you posted that photo on Facebook. And I was like, I have a photo that's almost identical to that one.
It's so strange. It is really such a crazy, small world in the end. Right.
Yeah, definitely is. But there is like the British colonization there where like, I think it's in, I can't remember the name of it. They have really interesting names for their villages, but all these British buildings that have just been put in the middle of Myanmar, it's so random and stands out like a sore thumb, but it's awesome and so wonderful to see. And they're really proud of that area now.
Yeah. And it's, I wish I could kind of find some way to like look through archives or pick his brain. Cause I'd love to learn more about his time and just, you know, see what it was like during that time. But, you know, who knows? Maybe one day I'll discover it in a backpack.
Exactly.
I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, and then I have more silly lightning round questions like last time.
Ooh, I love those.
Just for fun. And we'll ask you those before we get out of here. But I guess sort of my closing questions for you is I'm kind of curious. And at this point, you and May has only been around for, I think, 3 or 4 months. Conceptually, you said it took you a couple of years to get it going and then obviously executed a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. But what impact have you seen already from the short time that it's been around?
Yeah, so the girls, it's like a fully functional business now. You know, they're over there, they're working as a team every day in the workshop doing their lessons. And as the two, you know, Shuei's starting law school and Weiwei's about to start her own business. So we'll bring on two new girls. And the hope is that every year we can bring on a few new girls into that program and hopefully expand into other villages within Myanmar and also globally. But the essence of Yu and Mei is slow fashion. Right. So being able, to always be able to put a face to fashion. So you will always know exactly who made that garment that you purchase.
That is fantastic. Do you have any aspirations to like put it in like boutiques or retail shops or anything like that? Is that something that you might want to do down the line?
Definitely. I mean, retail would be wonderful. I'd love to be, I mean, I've been approached by a few people already. It's just figuring out the entire collection. You know, we've only just kind of launched and we have a few limited pieces. So once the girls are fully trained, then we can release a whole collection and look at getting that into retail, which would be wonderful and definitely one of the goals.
That's cool. So do you have any, like 10 years, I hate this question, so I apologize, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So 10 years down the road, what do you want to see you and May as? Like if you could jump in a time machine, like a time traveling DeLorean, go 10 years into the future, what would the ideal you and May look like in 10 years?
Well, I said to the girls when they first started, I want to train you up to be leaders so that when we bring on a whole new team of girls, you can then lead them, and so on and so on. So I want every girl that's a part of the UMA program to be able to have that responsibility. And they were so excited by the thought of that, being able to teach what they know to someone else. But I want these girls to be self-sufficient, and I want to have replicated the program within different villages around the world. We're even working with a village in Cavite, which is a province in the Philippines, and it's a mum and dad who started up a bag business to provide an education for their children and the children in their community. So we're already stocking their bags on our website, and to be able to, I think, collaborate with different businesses like that around the world would be really cool. And I definitely want to have it in retail as well as online, and to have a full team here in Australia would be a goal.
Hopefully sooner than 10 years because
hopefully in the next few months, because
you would be a skeleton by then. It would be very, very sad and very exhausting. I'll ask you for all the social media links and stuff at the end, so you can tell our listeners on, you know, how to get a hold of some stuff. Just for our listeners, I ordered something for my son. It's awesome. It's really, really well made. I think everybody should definitely get some UMA stuff. It's pretty. Oh, there it is. Yeah. I don't even know if that's available anymore. I was looking at the site today and I didn't even.
There's only size twos left now. All the size fours have sold out. And this fabric is no longer made anywhere in Myanmar. Because this fabric's hand woven. So it takes two girls 2 days to hand weave the fabric before it's given to the girls to actually sew.
Oh my God.
So. They don't have like the pattern to actually make this anymore. I mean, I guess they could make something similar to it, but that's why there are some pieces. It's just so limited with the hand woven longi pieces.
Right. I mean, the quality is absolutely fantastic, and it's, you know, and especially when you realize like where the money is going to when you buy it, and who the money is going to. It really makes it like it, I felt like I was. Like doing something good for the world when I bought overalls for my kid. So it's like, it was honestly like a win-win situation. I thought it was really cool. So, I'll give all the links to our listeners at the end of the show so they can go in and buy all sorts of stuff and save people and help people. But are you ready for, a very special lightning round Australia edition of our stupid questions?
I love this part.
All right.
This will be the highlight of my day.
I don't know after you hear these dumb questions. Okay. So this is honestly what happened. Like I told you earlier in the show, I've watched more High Five than any adult probably should. Probably, I'm not even kidding, like hundreds of hours of it, because like to my kid, it's like the best thing ever. And like I've learned to honestly like – I think a lot of the pop songs that High Five did would make like really great like rock and roll or like punk rock songs. They're so catchy and so good and have so much energy. Like,
yes,
there's not,
yeah, no,
there's
you not got like you a day
that
goes songs by
that we don't like rock out to like Robot Number One or you know, Starburst. Like, oh, they're just they're so freaking good. Okay.
So,
but while I was watching a lot of High Five, I noticed that you guys have in Australia have very different names for things that we have here in the United States. So it's sort of a quiz. I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to ask you what you call it in Australia. And then I'm going to see if you know what we call it in the United States. Okay. So first question is, when you go bowling, what do you call the things that you roll the ball at?
Bowling pins.
In the United States. But what do you call it in Australia?
Oh my gosh, that's what I call them.
You call them bowling pins?
Maybe I'm bowling pins.
Yeah, bowling pins.
What do you call? What do you think we call them?
You guys had a skit where you called them Skittles, and it blew my mind. Do you remember the
Skittles? Oh, Skittles! Yes, yes, Skittles. But I remember we did that scene, and I was like, "What are Skittles?" And then they came out with these costumes, and we had to dress up. But I was like, "Oh, bowling pins!" And then we had to make these weird noises, like Skittles, Skittles, yeah, Skittles. Oh, like, it was so funny.
It is like the fact that you just made the Skittles noise, like, just made my entire week, because I see that skit, and like, you guys look like you're having the best time ever, rolling around on the ground, being like weird bowling pins. So
I'd have to double check, but I think Stevie wrote that scene.
Did he?
So he probably calls them Skittles.
Yeah, whoever wrote it is brilliant, because that seems wonderfully bizarre, and I love it. All right. So when you cross a busy road, what do you call the part of the road with stripes on it?
A pedestrian crossing.
Well, that's very proper. All right, so
what did you call?
We just call it a crosswalk, but that's not what you called it on the show. On the show, you called it a zebra crossing.
That probably makes more sense than either of us.
Zebra crossing. Yeah,
zebra crossing.
That's my slash New York, Florida accent that I have is this weird. I don't know
what the heck. It's great.
Okay. So next one is, what do you call special boots that are designed for walking in the rain?
Gumboots.
Oh, you got that one right. Yeah, gumboots.
That's the classic. If it weren't for the gumboot song, we wouldn't be talking right now.
That's very true. That was a very late night singing Gumboot Garden in my head. I might just sing it now. Why not? Growing a gumboot garden.
Growing a gumboot garden. Yeah, that's not nice. Honestly, that was the first interesting Twitter comment that I'd ever had in my time of having a Twitter account. I still don't really know how to work Twitter. I think I have 5 followers or something on Twitter. Honestly, I don't know how to work it.
I was super happy that you responded to that, because like in all actuality, that song, like a lot of the songs are earworms, but that one, like, for some reason was stuck in my head for like a week, and I was just like, I need to message this lady and be like, what have you done to me?
What's a gumboot?
What the heck is a gumboot? But yeah, we call them galoshes, which is equally terrible.
As weird. There's like, at least ours has the word boot in it.
Right. Yeah.
What's a galosh?
I have galosh sounds like a stew. I think it might be a stew.
Dip.
Yeah. Like a dip.
Probably.
Okay. So this one's challenging. What do you call a pink fluffy treat often purchased at a carnival or fair?
Fairy floss. Ooh, yummy.
What is fairy floss?
Do you call it cotton candy?
We call it
cotton. You say cotton candy, don't you? Oh, I knew that one. Yeah, I knew
we,
that
we
one.
We say cotton candy. When I heard it was like fairy floss, my mind was blown, because first of all, fairy floss, all of your names, Australian names for these things, are much better than the American name. I mean, fairy floss is better, gumboots are better, zebra crossing, Skittles, they're like much better. Like, they're super fun versions of our boring, like, you know, we have a legacy of like terrible things with the cotton industry in the United States. We're like, we're going to make cotton candy. It's like, oh, nobody wants to be reminded of that.
That's so funny. No, if a fairy were to produce floss, I'm pretty sure that's what it would look like.
Yeah, this is pure pink sugar. All right. So this is our last one. What do you call rubber sandal-like shoes?
Thongs.
Thongs, yeah. Do you know what we call them in the United States?
I think we call your thongs G-strings.
Oh, yeah. We have G-strings. What do we call the shoes? What do you think we call the shoes here? Like thongs?
Like sandals?
Sandals, or we call them flip-flops. Do you know that?
Flip-flops.
It's a terrible
name. Actually have heard that before. You heard that they before. Do flip-flop, though.
They do flip.
I think
we're very
liberal. But like thong.
Like a lot
what
of
is
our
that? Thing, why?
Like if you look at all of our names, I just realized flip. This. Like American names for things are like bowling pins, crosswalk. It's all very liberal.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is very literal.
Well, thank you so much, Anika. This has been an absolute blast, and you know, I think what you're doing is really admirable, and I think everybody should kind of take note and there are times in your life where you kind of hit these crossroads and you were already doing something really cool, but you decided to do something even cooler and even more impactful. And I think a lot of people should try different things that are really hard, because what you're doing is really hard. But I think if a lot of people try really hard things, then the world will be a better place. So hats off to you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, you're welcome. And where can people find you on social media and you and May on social media?
Okay, so our website is www.youmeilabel.com, YOUMEILABEL. We're on Instagram at youmeilabel, and we're on Facebook, You and May. And then my personal page is Tanika Anderson on Instagram and Facebook, TanikaAnderson. And that's it, I think.
Cool.
I don't have my own personal website, so I can't link that.
Sounds like you have plenty going on. I don't think you need to worry about website management at this point.
Oh, no. Who needs that?
Do you have any projects or anything going on that we need to know about now that you want to plug or have in the works?
Yeah, well, keep an eye out for Super Dudes, because we'll definitely have to come back on the podcast when that's kind of up and running. Yeah, there is some exciting news.
My son Lincoln absolutely loved that book that he got, and he's a huge fan of Super Thumb is his favorite, because he can hold
Super
up
Super Thumb.
I love Super Thumb.
And yes.
He loves, what's his name? Bogan.
Bogan Moth.
Bogan Moth. Yeah, he loves Bogan Moth. We had to look.
Bogan Moth is a hit or miss.
Yeah, we had to look up what Bogan meant, because that's not an American thing either. We're like, what's Bogan Moth? Like, I have no idea what this means at all. But yeah,
so funny.
We're big fans of Super Dudes too. So hopefully...
If you come to America, Super Thumb is in the live show. So Lincoln will get to meet Super Thumb.
He'll lose his mind. So yeah, hopefully you guys do come to the States to hang out. That would be fantastic.
And, that would be awesome.
I'm assuming we'll be in touch and figure something out if that's the case. But thank you so much again for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always so much fun.
It was an absolute...
All right. So I hope you guys enjoyed our chat with Tanika Anderson. Like I said earlier, I think what she's doing is absolutely fantastic, and everyone should buy something either for themselves or for a loved one. Like I said in the interview, I bought a pair of overalls for my kid, and they're freaking awesome. And there's a whole new line coming out soon. We'll put links in the show notes so you guys can check out all the clothes. And again, every time you buy something, you're helping somebody. So it's sort of a win-win situation. The clothes are cool, and you are, you know, helping change someone's life, which is, how often can you buy something and actually change someone's life? So, you know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, that's so good. So why don't you tell our listeners the links and how they can check out the story and the clothing and get involved?
Yeah, so you can go to their website, youandmeilabel.com. So youumeilabel.com. Go there, check it out, and you can, of course, check out the clothes they have for sale, buy them right there directly on the site. And there's contact links as well if you want to get more involved and help out in various ways, or, you know, email them if you're a member of the press and you want to chat with them, you can do that too. So there's email links directly on that website. If you want to you'll follow them on social media, it's You and May basically on everything. So YOU, ampersand, MEI, all over the place. And, you know, follow them on Instagram and what's the other one that we like? Twitter. Sorry, I do social media all day for a living.
Your brain is like fried.
Yeah, I realistically, like, I get Twitter and Twitch mixed up on a constant basis because I'm saying them 50 times a day. So there you go. But yeah, so, you know, Tanika is an absolute blast. I apologize to our listeners for me singing on the show. I don't know if Scott, you left that in or not.
It's all in there.
It's yeah, it's but, good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely there's some moments of levity and some fun tour stories that I hope you guys enjoyed listening to. I thought those were really good too, and the clothes on this website are incredible. And I hear you say correctly in the interview that they are sort of like limited edition just by virtue of, you know, because they're handmade and kind of one of a kind.
She was saying is a lot of times the fabrics will become unavailable in Myanmar, so she'll have a design that the girls are working on, and all of a sudden, you know, that fabric won't be able to find it in the region anymore, and so that design will go away. So I believe, like I was talking about the overalls I got for my kid earlier, I don't think you can get those anymore because that pattern and that design isn't there. So everything's very limited. Everything's handmade. And, you know, everything, all of the proceeds go to the education and nurturing of these girls. It's not just teaching them things out of books. It's also teaching them etiquette and the way the world works, which I just think is fantastic. Because if you look on their website and you see the conditions that these young women live in, it's no joke. It's a serious thing. And, you know, I haven't really gotten a chance to talk about it too much on the show yet, but I just went a little over a week without power, a couple days without water, and like, you know, 14 days or something like that without internet. And I had a support system, but it was still so hard. It was so hard and so hot and so uncomfortable. And they live in conditions infinitely worse than what I experienced, you know? And that's something I think a lot of people in the United States don't really understand. And a lot of people that haven't ever had to experience something like that don't really understand. So, you know, buy something cool and help people. And like, you know, like there's stories all over the site on how the lives of these girls have been changed by what she's doing. So it's awesome. She's in her 20s. She's shredding. She's doing so much good for the world. And, you know, I hope to have her back on again.
Absolutely. And she's, I'm sure you also heard that they're helping to build, she wants to help build the next generation of people that can then train, like, you know, that she's helping to bring these people up so that they can train the next group of girls to, you know, become business savvy and do all this stuff and kind of become more self-sufficient. So it's really awesome in this pay it forward sort of way. And like you said, just brings a lot of good into the world. So I want this to be successful and I wish them all the best.
I think they're going to do quite well.
Yes, so indeed.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Cool.
As for our own shameless self-promotion, you can follow us on Twitter. That's @NerdAppropriate. You can email us nerds@nerdappropriate.com. We have a Twitch TV channel, which is /NerdAppropriate on Twitch TV. Dude, I'm telling you, I do this all day. I can't too many links to remember, man. But anyway, follow us. We have all sorts of fun stuff coming up. We very much appreciate it. And of course, follow you in May and buy some stuff.
Indeed. Have a good week.